My talk will be devoted to a matching of strong turbulence, so-called strong turbulence, and weak wave turbulence, with some illustration in rotating, stably stratified, and overflow. So, for the outline, I will discuss a bit wave turbulence with free wave resonance, in contrast with with the tutorial of Gregory for quantum turbulence, like Gross-Pitayevsky or nonlinear Schrödinger. Okay. I will speak about rotating turbulence, inertial wave turbulence at very small Rossby number, but with the possibility to match with theory for strong turbulence, so at moderate rotation. Small Rossby number means strong rotation, and conversely, because the rotation rate is at the denominator, usually to define the Rossby number. I will say something about turbulence in a stably stratified fluid. We discussed yesterday with astrophysicist and with Bob, he's not here, about stratified flow, and I think it's an interesting issue in which you have not only wave turbulence like gravity wave turbulence, but also non-propagating term, and you have to take into account both propagating and non-propagating term. I will very rapidly give generalized Lin equation and detailed conservation law. Detailed conservation law were addressed in the tutorial by John yesterday at the beginning, essentially for the vorticity. I will a bit enlarge. The important question I would be very happy to discuss with John and other interested is renormalizing or not the bare dispersion frequency in a model which is not devoted to strictly wave turbulence theory. I will present the general EDQNM context towards strong anisotropy, strictly incompressible flow, and I will finish, if it reminds you time, by some recent approach by colleagues to the superfluid, because using basic EDQNM, because a lot of persons here are interested in superfluid. I will begin by very, very simple equation. If you have a velocity field in Fourier space affected by wave, completely affected by wave, this is, for example, the case of rotating turbulence, you can express the velocity field in terms of amplitude, which correspond roughly to the psi term, and phase term with a typical anisotropic, in general, dispersion frequency omega k. In the linear limit, this guy are just constant, and you generate the field of waves, but you can just replace this constant by new variable, and it is very easy to transfer any equation for you to equations for a plus a minus. This is immediately done in Fourier space. From the equation for you in Fourier space, I didn't recall, you have just a convolution product for the quadratic nonlinearity in Fourier space, and in this case, you will replace UP and UQ by this guy, so that it appears automatically this term. But the third operation is to come back to A itself, taking into account this guy as an integrating factor, and finally you have an equation just for this guy in terms of an equation which resembles the basic Navier-Stokes equation in Fourier space. You can add the viscous term if you want, but usually wave turbulence is considered as very high Reynolds number. And the only difference is that the geometric factor here with respect to the Kreuknach Fresnel projector is much more complicated, but it is well known. It just it depends on the definition of the eigenmodes itself. And of course, an important new feature is the existence of a resonant operator, which combine the dispersion law of three waves, forming a triad. I made absolutely no approximation for that. Of course, this called into play a lot of questions. First, the resonant operator can be close to one if you have resonant condition, but it could be as you want at any Rossby number. In this case, the first effect will be to modulate the nonlinearity and to damp this nonlinearity by phase mixing, by in dispersive phase mixing. So you will, at the first time, reduce drastically the nonlinearity, and the nonlinearity could be scale as a Rossby number, for example, if you have Rossby waves, so that wave turbulence is really controlled, can be controlled by a small parameter, what you have not in strong turbulence. Nonlinearity, of course, you immediately guess that the important nonlinear term will be obtained when the phase of the resonant operator is almost zero. This characterizes, for example, for the typical frequency of rotation of inertial waves, this condition of resonance. So that among all the triad possible, you will concentrate, the nonlinearity will concentrate on only few of them, a kind of slow manifold, which is a manifold of resonant triad. Some caveat. The first caveat is that if k parallel is equal to zero, this corresponds exactly to the 2D manifold. And in this case, the Taylor-Prudhomme theorem says only, translated in Fourier space, that the slow manifold, zero frequency mode, is just the 2D manifold. You cannot expect that you will have automatically predict a transition to 2D, but if you have transition to a slow manifold, it is equivalent to a transition to a 2D manifold. First. Slow rapid separation, of course, when you will want to use wave turbulence theory, you will separate rapid guy like omega kt, rapid guy like that, and slow amplitude with a two-time expansion. This is not possible at k parallel equal to zero, because this becomes slow too. So you will have to treat with extremely care the vicinity of k parallel equal to zero. That the DNS cannot absolutely not to do. I insist heavily on that, and if you disagree, I can discuss after. So, first caveat. I consider even that the slow manifold is not an attractor or condensate as suggested by some DNS. Caveat 2. The slow amplitude are random, not smooth, so that you need a statistical model. It could be possible, of course, in my first transparencies, the preceding transparencies, to consider basic Navier-Stokes and to concentrate on resonant triad. But statistically, it's not realistic, and you have to move from Navier-Stokes equation modulated by the resonant operator to robust statistical model modulated by the same resonance operator. And EDQNM is perfectly done for that. So I continue. You can imagine a much more complex case. First, it could exist a 3D slow mode. In addition to the limit of zero frequency of a wave mode, which is a low dimension mode, you can have a non-propagating mode, like if you have weakly compressible turbulence, the solenoidal part of the flow itself is not propagating, only acoustics propagate, and if you have stable stratified turbulence, I can show that the toroidal mode doesn't propagate and has to be taken into account. This is completely different from pure wave turbulence theory, in which wave dominates all the flow. Okay. Sometimes the free wave resonance cannot be applied. If you combine rotation and stable stratification, you have a dispersion law like that. And at the particular case n equals twice omega, the dependency on the wave number direction completely vanish. In this case, if you have omega close to n, okay, a constant, n plus or minus n plus or minus n is never zero. You have to go to fourth order waves, and you recover the classic domain considered by Grisha in his tutorial. So you have different problems. Now, Rossby waves, I have a concern. Perhaps it's a personal position. For me, Rossby waves are no waves, because you have not plus and minus in the frequency, in the dispersion frequency. And this is linked to the fact that the equation is not a kind of D'Alembert equation, but just a first-in-time equation. So for me, it could be more westward convected oscillation. And in this case, wave turbulence theory is not very useful. This can explain perhaps that we spoke of this Undershot, Holloway and Undershot propose a model in which there is a strong renormalization of the frequency. I stop here because it's a very marginal point in the rest. Another point is that people in the past thought that wave turbulence theory cannot be applied to non-dispersive waves. It's wrong. In the case of Alphen waves, in which it is with coupling of induction equation and velocity equation for magnetohydrodynamics, in this case you have a perfectly non-dispersive Alphen waves, and free wave theory was considered by Galtier, Annick Pouquet, Newell, and others. So the important thing in that is that this is not really pure convection by a real velocity, because you have plus and minus. The presence of plus and minus in the resonant operator is fundamental to use wave turbulence, even if you are not dispersive. So, perhaps I am too slow. Just a nice illustration of the waves in a rotating tank. You have exactly similar St. Andrew cross structures in stable stratified turbulence. If you rotate and you force with a periodic omega zero locally, if omega zero is strictly larger than twice omega, you force rapidly, nothing happens, just a viscous contamination of the steering motion. And suddenly, when omega zero cross the threshold a bit less than twice omega, these structures appear completely in agreement with the dispersion law I presented before. In fact, the wave vector, these structures, in fact, materialize a strong shear between isophase line, and the wave vector is that. And in this experiment, you can completely slave the angle of this structure to omega zero, the ratio between twice omega and omega zero being the cosine of the angle, or k parallel over k in the dispersion law. This is just to advertise for my colleague. This looks at a shadow graph, but it is from direct numerical simulation. Just to illustrate that in direct simulation, it's sometimes difficult to distinguish results from experiment and results from direct numerical simulation. Continue. No, I will arrive to the technical point of my talk, which is how to move from, for example, a basic DQNM, which is one of the simplest models from the legacy of Orszag and Kreknan, to a model capable of taking into account the resonant operator and capable of matching the wave turbulence theory. I just recall a very simple, you have a Lin equation for isotropic turbulence, for example. The important term is a cubic transfer term, and it could be expressed like that. The quadratic term in terms of E, E is just, in isotropic turbulence, it's just the spherically average spectrum divided by the surface of a sphere. It's a bit simpler, and in anisotropic turbulence, I will consider this guy as dependent not only on k modulus, but on k vector, very important. And you have here this quasi-normal term, AKPQ, take into account all the geometric coefficients by combining projector, taking into account exactly the pressure effect and the solenoid property of the velocity field. And ΔKPQ, it's just the guy which reflect this cause and what John presented as a nonlinear correction to the nonlinear correction of the Kreknan response function in a very simple way, which is called eddy damping from Orszag. So in wave turbulence, in fact, I will move to a similar equation. I will just, in fact, I have more variable than E. I have helicity, I have polarization, but I will just discuss the part of the transfer of E, which only involves E. You have other quadratic term, but I just choose one, perhaps the most significant. The geometric factor is much more complicated, but complexly known analytically. You have to.
E capital is something which is responsible for polarization, or what is this? This
what?
A capital is what?
Oh yeah, it's a spherical averaging it's a classical spherically averaging energy spectrum. And E is only the non-average part, which for thermalized tail, for example, E capital behaves in K square, but E lowercase behaves constant. So just an example. So you have a geometric factor which takes into account the fact that we expand in terms of the eigenmode of inertial waves, which is also which diagonalizes also the curl. Thus, eigenmodes which are for me very important in any case, even for isotropic turbulence, as shown by Walef some time ago. And you recover this guy here, but the important wave term coming from a product, I will discuss that a bit later, from a product of three basic propagators, exactly as in Navier-Stokes equation, in basic Navier-Stokes equation for a slow variable. And so, it's not completely finished. Now to have to correctly size the limit of resonant surfaces exactly. So starting from that, you consider in this term, under the limit of a formula which by Russian people is called often Sokotsky, Plemelge, or other, and which is a kind of Lebesgue limit using French. There are a lot of common for distribution. There are Schwarz and Franchiloff. I prefer not to discuss. But symbolically, because it's much more, we are very integral form of this. This is only a symbolical form. This guy at vanishing mu behaves as a Dirac of X plus the la valeur entière, on en a parlé beaucoup. Principal value of one over x. This term is generally completely forgotten. It is very important for polarization effect in rotating turbulence. And this term, people say only, oh yes, we have to take this equal to zero. But if you have a really a 3D view of the complex resonance surfaces, like some paraboloid, complicated paraboloid. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is that you concentrate towards the vicinity of resonance surface. And if you concentrate, you need to know the gradient of the resonance surface, the normal, the local normal to the resonance surface. And in doing that, if you take the gradient in Fourier space of the resonance surface, you recover the velocity group, the group velocity. Often this is not clearly said in classical wave turbulence theory. And finally, you have this nice asymptotic form in which S is exactly the domain of resonance triad. I am too slow. So, the originality in our group was also to do numerics, exactly capture, as exactly as possible, capture the resonance surface and really to solve numerically the resonance equation. And in this case, it's really like any classical turbulence problem. You start with a spectrum without inertial range, and you build smoothly an inertial range, which is for the spherically average spectro, capital letter E, k minus 3 slope approximately. But because we have a numerical resolution, we have necessary a cutoff here, k max. And you could have accumulation of energy at the cutoff, like the thermalized tail. But our system is so complicated that terrible oscillation arrive as soon as you approach the Kmax. Thus, you have to regularize a bit and to add a bit of viscosity. It's the only difference with mathematical or theoretical turbulence theory, we use a bit of viscosity. So implicitly, our transfer term is really calculated without viscosity, but in the Lin equation, which is equivalent to the kinetic equation in wave turbulence theory, we have a new k square with new a bit artificial. I stop here. What is important? It's not really the k minus 3 law, but it results from a very strong anisotropy. If I represent here in terms of k modulus my non-average E just multiplied by k square in order to recover the isotropic case, I can have different spectra according to the value of k parallel over k. This corresponds to k parallel over k very close to k parallel equal to zero. You have dominant energy and k minus 2 slope, and for the case you have much less energy. If you are completely isotropic, with this definition, all the all the curves collapse on a single one. So you represent really anisotropy at the level of E in this case. And of course, anisotropy extend is more and more as K increase, because the Osmidoff length scale I considered, we discussed a bit before, is really at the infinite in the case of wave turbulence theory.
Doesn't look even less steep than K minus 2. Why
are
you trying to?
Yeah, perhaps. We have. It could be. It could be. It's close to minus 2, but perhaps not exactly. And very surprisingly, basic DNS with completely different range of parameters, very low, moderate Reynolds number, moderate Rossby number, with turbulence limit of vanishing Rossby number and as high as possible Reynolds number, give similar result. But in fact, because of our initial condition, the typical Osmidoff scale, Osmidoff wave number is here. If the typical Osmidoff wave number was here, perhaps we could have a beginning of reisotropization. And we begin to observe an over DNS. But I will not speak of DNS, it's not the most interesting. About the compositional aspect, I reiterate that our originality with respect to inertial wave turbulence theory is to numerically solve without cutoff wave number. It's a difficult computation because the resonant triad, depending on the orientation of K, are very resonant surfaces are very complex. I had no time to find, but I have from my colleague very beautiful 3D view of resonant surface. The grid is completely different from a DNS, assuming that delta K over K is constant, as in a shell model, and this allow a very good accuracy at small K parallel, which is not at all the case in classical pseudo-spectral DNS. And we have also a lot of accuracy for the angle, not only the angle which characterizes the direction of the wave vector with respect to the rotation axis, but also the angle of rotation of the plane of a triad around K. In classical isotropic theory, in fact, all the orientations are the same, and you replace this integral by 2 pi. Here you have to take into account all the different planes of a triad, except if K is aligned with the axis, with a rotation axis. Okay. And about with respect to analytical result, for example, by Galtier in 2003, we recover, well, this is a very marginal result, we recover basically the same result, but the result of Galtier is a bit difficult to interpret because he considers that really K parallel, K perpendicular is very small with respect to K parallel. And this zone is very subtle because there is a forbidden zone in which you cannot apply the wave turbulence theory. So you can imagine that for typical K perpendicular, K parallel over K perpendicular small, you have different layers in terms of Rossby with a power inverse of, yes, Rossby in the power, and it's a complicated thing. Numerically, we have no question. We just recover that K minus 2, almost K minus 2 is at cosine theta, or as this guy close to zero, is consistent with that. And also, we can, because we have all the direction, we can spherically integrate, and we recover that we have K minus 3, but with a prefactor, which is not at all the same as in classical 2D turbulence, which is omega 2 K minus 3. So even if you have the impression that K minus 2 is dominant, the other direction play a role so that by spherically integrating, you don't recover k minus 2, but rather k minus 3. And in experiment, you have all the exponents you want from k minus 2 to k minus 3 also. finally, the response to the Shakespearean question, 2D or not 2D, what is the question, is not so simple. There are very contradictory arguments. Bob Kerr alleged that the two-dimensionalization is completely achieved, it's not clear, by rotation. This was also shown by Peter Bartello, but using highly under-resolved DNS, and even big DNS cannot answer for me. And you have at the opposite a recent proposal by Nazarenko and Shiko Shihin, you know this guy in Warwick, perhaps? No.
Shiko Shihin is Oxford.
Yeah, Oxford and Nazar. And the using a kind of semi-empirical critical balance, they say that such a flow is never 2D, cannot be never 2D. So just to say that it's open, I have my own opinion, but I prefer just let the open problem. And what about also a simple mathematical question, point is that wave turbulence show that near the 2D manifold, k parallel equal to zero, you attack the 2D manifold with an integral singularity as k parallel minus 1 over 2, and in pure 2D, you will have a Dirac.
Singularity in what? You say the singularity k minus 1.
Yeah, because
quantity behaves like that.
Because in fact the classical theory of wave turbulence cannot really afford the exact k parallel equal to zero. So it's considered as a singularity.
In what quantity behaves like this?
The energy spectrum becomes singular. Yes, it's the energy spectrum which behaves like that. As a kind of integral singularity. I have given a scheme for my first blackboard, and I will re-give these schemes. With respect to classical results, you have only dimensional analysis like that. This cannot take into account the anisotropy. You have a more sophisticated version consistent between DNS by Minini, Annick Pouquet, and balance, critical balance previously mentioned. But very importantly, what about the moderate Rossby-range? I reiterate the importance, I think I am correct now, John, I reiterate the importance of a kind of Osmidov scale. In fact, Osmidov scale was introduced for stably stratified blunts, but I just replaced the Brun-Weisler frequency by the rotation rate, and this can be taken into account at moderate Rossby number. At very high, at very small Rossby number, of course, this guy is 10 to the infinite and is not involved. Now we try to match all that with a generalized EDQNM. Sorry for the ridiculous index 3, I will explain why. Fully asymmetric mode code absorbing completely the asymptotic limit of wave turbulence theory and valid at any Rossby number. Perhaps it's a crucial transparency to delineate my model, my approach with respect to the one presented by John and to the one of classical DIA, in fact. In classical DIA, you have just this viscous operator, but the three indicate that it's a product of three operators, in fact, for KPQ. But you use a single response function or quick time green function, because in fact you use two time correlation psi. Okay, in my approach, I extract all the linear dynamic first, linked to the zero order structure function. The zero order response function is just the propagator of waves in my case. And in fact, this can be recovered by a fluctuation dissipation theorem. The two other, this guy is this guy, is the zero order of this guy, and the two other guy can come from the two time psi psi by using a fluctuation dissipation theorem. But I think it's not necessary, and I can have a more direct access to EDQNM without a detour by DIA. Perhaps we could discuss, I could agree that we disagree, and really the nonlinear part and all the eddy damping stuff is concentrated on a term here, which will be marginally relevant in the limit of wave turbulence theory, but we could be relevant, of course, at high Reynolds, at high Rossby number when the rotation is not completely dominant. Of course, this is the classical propagator with bare frequency of inertial waves. And an important question is that is it needed to renormalize this guy from this guy, which can be perhaps more studied by DIA and a possible field of cooperation, I think, between us. What I can say, this is of course a single time, because you have two time here in the operator, but this is a single time term which corresponds to the cubic transfer mediated, modulated by the Coriolis force or by a wave propagator, with this guy which corresponds to the quasi-normal approximation or phase random approximation in the language of physicists. It's enough, perhaps. We have free version, this ridiculous index, free version of the model, just by applying the time dependency to these different operators. If I consider that this term is completely dominant, is so decaying, like a strong decaying exponential, that all the values are t equal t prime here, I remove completely this guy, and I recover a model in which the cubic term is not affected by rotation. It could be relevant in some case. I have a quasi-static MHD. I have a lot of examples. But in rotating turbulence, it's completely wrong because the Coriolis force produces no energy. It don't directly modify the energy spectrum, so it can only modify the cascade through the cubic term. So if you remove this guy, you lose all the interesting effect of rotation. So we propose an EDQNM2 model in which you consider TT prime in all this guy, and only TT second equal T in the quasi-normal term linked to the velocity correlation. But it's not enough. Finally, the best model and the only which is completely consistent with wave turbulence is to continue the slow rapid sweeping, the slow rapid examination by looking really at this term, because this term, in fact, in the most general way, depends on E, the energy spectrum, on helicity, the helicity spectrum, which has implicitly slow term, not affected directly by Coriolis force, but this polarization term is affected. And we have to really consider as slow only a part of Z, which complicated the Markovianization of the quasi-normal term. I have, perhaps I will new. Oh, about just a few words about intermittency anomalous exponent. For 2-3 years, there is a soft consensus. I dislike such consensus, but people say, "Oh, the classical anomalous, the classical exponent from Kolmogorov 41 could become n over 2, which completely modify the line of anomalous exponent." Remains flat, but with a completely different slope. Even the glorified four-fifth Kolmogorov law is not verified, and in fact there are very few, there are tons of paper now on that, as usual. Then, but you have very few explanation. In fact, yes, you have just the fact that is E of k, it's capital letter, three color is in k minus 2. The structure function could be two second order structure function could be in R, which is the case. R. N over 2 is 1, okay? But there is absolutely no correct approach. We will to the four-fifth law, and a lot of pontificating about extended self-similarity and anomalous exponent, I prefer not to mention. You have really, in experiments, other problem. I have an homogeneous view far from boundary, and of course boundary effect is very important with Ekman pumping, complex shear layer with both jettle and vertical structure, and perhaps Frédéric Moisy in France is one of the best experimentalists in this domain, and very aware of theoretical results. what kind of time? Okay.
You're saying
that
even when n is 3,
for me it's more minus 3, so it's not consistent, really. Nothing is...
So on what basis, where does this come from? Is there a theoretical basis or an experimental?
No, in experimental the problem is that it's difficult to define exactly what they measure. It's a kind of average spectrum, average under what? And Frédéric Moisy obtained, for example, a lot of slope between 2 and 3, minus 2 and minus 3. But it's not possible, just we have to suggest to measure new quantities behind all this stuff, spectral stuff, in fact, we can predict all the measurable quantities. And we will try to find measurable quantities which could give the result.
So I have not. Due to anisotropy.
Oh yeah. Sure. It's sure that if it is true that you pass from n over 3 to n over 2, this has nothing to do with intermittency. The proof that to link the anomalous exponent to intermittency is, well, I prefer to say nothing. I have a very nice example with weakly compressible turbulence in which it is needed to renormalize the dispersion law of acoustic waves. But I have no time to discuss just now, if it reminds just a few minutes. Let me speak very rapidly on rotating stabi-stratified turbulence, in which you have now a coupled field, which is the buoyancy field linked to temperature and density. We use the Boussinesq approximation so that the field, the velocity field, is strictly divergence-free, but the density can fluctuate implicitly very g the gravity here. And just to recall what is the Born-Weisela frequency which affect the buoyancy, it's like a pendulum. You have a frequency g over l, and you replace, you have exactly here g 1 over density of reference, the gradient of density, local gradient of density, among Z, so that this has the dimension of L. This is the bound variational frequency. And also, you have very simple, simple interpretation, like just a restoring force when you displace a particle in a field with a density lower at the bottom than at the top. But this is just a very simple idea of the pendulum action of the gradient. And much more seriously, you have an eigenmode decomposition very close to the one I presented for rotation with different eigenvectors. And in this case, both UB are given in a single vector. I propose a special formalism for that. And you have a non-propagating term. So that in addition to a possibly slow mode of low dimension are sigma, or I let sigma, it's omega. At omega k equal to zero, you have a 3D mode, which is very important, especially in purely stratified turbulence. You remove this guy. In purely stratified turbulence, it is the vertical wave vector which gives a slow mode of gravity waves. But in addition, you have a toroidal mode, which is not affected. I can discuss, depending on the ratio of rotation over stratification, you have different definition of wave and vortex, so I don't like wave vortex. It's not at all intrinsic. You have just non-propagating mode, which is the toroidal mode in purely stratified flow, and which is a kind of quasi-geostrophic mode when rotation is acting. And in the case of pure rotation, in which you completely drop stratification, in fact, all is wave, because the helical mode can represent any velocity field. So I mentioned this caricature from the very beginning. In rotating turbulence, you have evidence for concentration of spectral energy towards the equatorial belt in a spherical shell in wave space. This is not the Earth, it is a wave space. And this corresponds to elongated structures, but which are not at all Taylor column. Smooth Taylor column will be only obtained in the exact limit of k parallel equal to zero. And is completely the opposite in stably stratified turbulence. Often people say, oh, you are just to reverse the horizontal and the vertical direction. Wrong. You have here a 2D manifold, you have a 1D manifold. So that for me, stable stratified turbulence is more 1D. Nobody said that, I don't know what. Stratified turbulence in a 3D case, of course. Not a shallow water approximation and so on. And this corresponds to layering. And the representation in Fourier space is very powerful, because if you concentrate along the vertical wave vector, you have also, because of the incompressibility constraint, you have also pure horizontal velocity. So that you obtain both the layering with a decorrelated pancake or blinis, but you have also the tendency of the vertical velocity to vanish. So, but this is not due by wave, this is due by the toroidal part of the notion. So for me, it's a toroidal cascade, which is completely ignored in almost all the studies of rotating turbulence. I have just a cartoon. I will try to go very rapidly, perhaps to one transparency of the what is important.
Just leave
courses. On the conservation, detailed conservation law, in fact, for purely isotropic turbulence or even rotating turbulence, because the eigenmode are the same, I insisted, he's not here, on the interest of developing, of expanding on on helical modes of the eigenmode of a curl, not only with rotation. We have this detailed conservation law, which allow in 3D to conserve both energy and helicity triad by triad. If I multiply by C, I obtain conservation of helicity of energy. If I multiply by IKC, I obtain conservation of helicity. By multiplying by IK is not as in a shell model purely formal action, it's you obtain really the helicity term in this case. And of course in 2D this guy is replaced by K, P square minus Q square according to Fyrchov per before Koekkonen. I'm not sure to pronounce correctly. And this can be for the toroidal cascade when for strong stratification I propose a generalization in which, in fact, this resembles 2D, but it's completely different because you have only the P parallel component here, and you know that this P parallel component becomes marginal. So this can suggest an inverse cascade, but in fact, there is absolutely no inverse cascade. It's the only thing I share with Lindborg, Chomaz, and Brett Hoover. I completely agree with them that there is no inverse cascade. But I prefer use an exact formalism than what do.
I will conclude.
I'm sorry. Or just EDQNM give perfectly the thermalization. It gives a very slow convergence to the 4-5 law in isotropic turbulence. In fact, you need R lambda. In astrophysics, it's sure you have a very strong Reynolds number, and as you mentioned, the 4-5 law can be a way to measure epsilon. But in basic experiment, we have a moderate Reynolds number, and in fact, the 4-5 law is really an asymptotic, not an exact, for me, relationship, but an asymptotic relationship, and we can completely describe by EDQNM, by, from T we obtain the third order structure function, from E we obtain the epsilon, and we can, okay, and I will move to conclusion. No time for a superfluid.
You can open it, but nobody.
I will send you the reference for the paper.
Can you put this file, put the
AK and everything? Yeah, okay. So my conclusion, Wavetablance theory can be matched with generalized EDQNM, but my way of treating EDQNM with really extracting the core, the threefold zero-order Koekkonen function is a bit different from what is done as considering EDQNM as a byproduct of DIA. For me, it's not exactly a byproduct of DIA. Anisotropy is essential. I have very beautiful, I have no time to present. Very interest also for people who dislike spectral space. There are communities in which people dislike spectral space. You have to show that from the cubic term in Fourier space, you can recover all the measurable or fashionable statistics like various third order structure function with different direction and so that we will do that more and more. And a question, for example, Uriel Frisch was a bit derogative about EDQNM, say, oh, there is no intermittency or something like that. And now he is more supporting because he was very happy with a thermalized tail obtained by EDQNM. But now, the very important, I have no hope with EDQNM to go to high order moment, but perhaps to four order correlation. Really, the flatness is the key quantity to say we are very far from Gaussianity. Cubic correlation, which are linked to the transfer, are very important. Non-zero, so these models are not Gaussian, it's true, but flatness is another challenge, and my colleague Wouter Bos in Lyon and Bob Rubinstein in Nasal Anglais are working on that. I was perhaps a bit long. Thank you for your attention. And my tea will be cold.
you said that the directional dependence disappears when n and becomes comparable. Is that seen, for example, in visualizations of DNS when you show? I mean, you showed, for example, these elongated, strongly rotating tablets. If n becomes too comparable to omega, would you expect that to be no longer elongated?
You speak about the dispersion law of sine. Cosine. I presented, I have no time to discuss, but I presented some result of DNS in which we have we recover an almost isotropic distribution. So there is no evidence of privileged direction as in rotating or stably stratified turbulence. If this term is really dominant for different reasons, it's not this term responsible, but it will emphasize the toroidal, the non-propagating, the wave turbulence part will be killed, and the toroidal part, which is not affected by that, will be emphasized. So when this term is important, propagation along the vertical, or the dominance of the vertical direction in wave space is emphasized with pancake or bini. And with this term is dominant, of course, we have elongated structures.
Okay. There are no further questions.